All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. This is Chris, and you're listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful, and we focus on expert and millionaire interviews and tips and advice to help you as an entrepreneur, a business owner, to explode your business in all areas in your life. And today, I've got a phenomenal guest. I'm so excited. He's actually become a really good friend in the business world. His name's Chris Jansen. He's the founder of thetriathletemind.com. He's also the author of 8.5 Steps to Making 2012 your best triathlon year ever and race faster now. And he's been a masterful coach literally over the past 20 years, helping athletes reach their peak performance one every single race day. And he's a contributing expert to active.com, ESPN, Runners World USA, and 220 Triathlon Magazine, which is one of the UK's biggest selling triathlete magazines. So Chris's key strategies are really helping athletes develop clarity, mental strength, and emotional endurance necessary to master the inner game of the triathlons. And Chris himself, he's won championships in 5 different sports, including he's a 3-time national champion and a world number one ranked amateur. He's competed in super sprints, sprints, team relays, Ironman 7.3, and full Ironman triathlon. So he's super accomplished, and he's a highly sought after advisor and trainer to some of the world's top performing companies, such as Apple, Vodafone, I hope I'm pronouncing that one right, General Electric, Johnson & Johnson, IBM, and Intel. So essentially, Chris is your go-to man as a coach, trainer, and mentor to help you achieve high performance so that you show up the best you can show up more consistently. So without further ado, I welcome Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to talking today.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining. So I'd love to kind of just jump right in and get started with what got you into the world of triathlons?
Well, it's kind of, I guess, in line with what I aim to do with all of my clients and people that I have the privilege to work with, and that is it just continuing me on the path to going after my dreams and living the life as I want to live it. I've been a very active in sports since, probably since I was about 3 years old, which is getting farther away every year. The real, I can actually remember the exact moment I decided I wanted to do it, and that was I was training for my first marathon a handful of years ago. And I used to think that the marathon was the ultimate in endurance, the ultimate kind of test against the body, and it's definitely a challenge. And I was in the, I was almost finished a 30-kilometer race, which is about 3/4 of a marathon. And I was almost finished that, and I thought, wow, I actually feel pretty good. And which made me think that the extra distance I needed to achieve the marathon, to finish the marathon, wasn't going to be that much of a challenge anymore.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And in that instant, I can still picture exactly where I was running up this hill at about kilometer 28. And I thought, you know what? The marathon's not going to be that bad after all. I need a bigger challenge. I need to do an Ironman triathlon.
Wow.
And maybe it was the exhaustion and dehydration that had my mind going wrong there. So that's why I got into triathlon, thinking ultimately I really want to do an Ironman, and put the training into the effort. And happy to say I completed the Ironman in Cozumel just a few months ago now, and it was a great experience, and I look forward to doing more of them.
That's outstanding! Congratulations. I mean, that's huge accomplishment. So I mean, props to you on that. So, yeah, I mean, you said you were an athlete all your life. Was there a certain turn that got you into wanting to run? I think, run a marathon, or was it just that you always liked to run?
I was more involved in the team sports initially. Back in my home in Canada, I was involved in all the traditional team sports, with football being my major sport. And when I moved over to the UK, I live in London, England now, and I kind of lost connection with some of the team sports. So then I turned to endurance sports because I needed that challenge. I needed that something to continue to push me, mm-hmm. And to help me expand my capacity to see what I was made of. And so that's why I got turned on to marathons. And, for all my life, I played lots of sports, but I rarely ever ran more than 35 minutes at one point in time.
Oh, wow.
So that first marathon was certainly a big accomplishment because it certainly showed myself with my creaky knees and my sore hips that I could still do it with proper training, of course, and the proper mindset.
That's fantastic. Do you find a lot of your clients are kind of all over the board in how they got into triathlons as well?
Yeah, it's interesting that I think a lot of people come at it from different angles, but I think there's absolutely some commonality there, is that people, you know, it's a unique sport. It's often stated that it's the fastest growing sport in the world.
Oh, wow.
And it's very approachable for everybody, for people of all ages, all abilities, all levels of experience. But I think a lot of people are turning to it as a new challenge. The number one reason why people get into triathlon is because they want to challenge themselves to a new level, and they do it for, it's great for fitness, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people probably have some background in something, but it's always great to come across people who haven't been an athlete or athletic or maybe even fit for most of their life.
Wow.
And to take on that challenge is a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's what I really like about it too, because like you said, with the team sports, those go away as we get older, unless, you know, it's single sports. But so I think that's fantastic. So when you got into this coaching, or how did the coaching develop? I mean, did you just want to start helping athletes, or did you find that there was a need that wasn't out there in the marketplace to help triathletes?
Well, yeah, you know, as a high level kind of very competitive athlete in my teens, I started to read up a lot on, you know, what it takes for the great athletes to be great, reading their autobiographies. And, you know, that was the day before the internet, but was really trying to get as much information as I could about what I needed to do. What were the skills I needed? What were the techniques I could use in training and weightlifting and conditioning and all that kind of stuff? And what kind of amazed me was how many of these, you know, Hall of Fame athletes talked about, you know, yes, they talked about what they did, but what they really talked about was how their mind shift needed to shift, how their attitude made all the difference, how their belief in their own abilities was the foundation to their success. And even when that belief wasn't always there, that they were able to do whatever it took to re-engage that belief. And so in my early 20s, when I was still, you know, very competitive, that I started really getting tuned into what the thoughts are, what goes on in your mind, and also how do you feel, you know, how your emotions profoundly influence how you perform. And whether that be pregame jitters and nerves or just, you know, anxiety from, you know, sometimes in the heavy sense, but in the light sense as well, being anxious about, you know, not being able to perform when the moment really matters. And so it's for the last 20 years or so, I've been very curious about that. And then specifically when I got into triathlon, I recognized that, you know what, 99% of all the content out there was about what gear you need, how much money you need to spend on your bike and your running shoes and your wetsuits and everything else, and all the nutrition and the techniques. And there really wasn't anyone talking about the mental side, or as I refer to it, as the inner game, because it's a whole dynamic of what goes on internally that affects us every single training session, every single race, and it also affects how we show up in day-to-day life when we're not training. So that's what led me to create triathletemind.com, it's wonderful. I have the opportunity now to coach athletes all the way from the coast to coast, from Sydney, Australia, to Los Angeles, to New York, to the UK and Mexico and the Middle East, and it's been fantastic.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I really like how you talk about the inner game. I mean, because I do see a lot of that out there in almost all sports too. It's, you know, the gear, the shoe, the outfit, the product. And it's really, when it comes down to it, it's our mindset. Now, how much do you think mindset plays into success in, you know, being an athlete?
It's inseparable. It is involved in everything. And I think that, you know, it's always about the little decisions that you make. Am I going to push it a little hard right now? Am I going to hit that snooze alarm? Am I going to manage my day a bit more effectively so I can get out of the office at time to either at lunch or at the end of the day to get in a good workout? And certainly in performance as well, you know, your mind's always at work. It's the only thing that is always at work. Sometimes the challenge is that 95% of what we think is unconscious. We don't realize we're thinking it, or we don't really fully appreciate the impact of it. I was reading a survey recently where 97% of triathletes said that the mental part is key to their success, yet less than 20% know anything to do about it, know what they could do about it, and less than 10% actually do something about it.
Right.
So there's a gap. There's a gap, and I hope to actually make a profound impact on the sport.
Well, it definitely sounds like you are, and I'd love to pick your brain, no pun intended there, more about the mental aspect. I mean, what do you, is there a common thread with your clients that you see that relates into being an athlete of what they need to overcome mentally? Or is it kind of all over the place?
No, there are definitely common threads. I think there's, by and large, there's usually two angles to it. It's people who have certain specific challenges during a race. They'll come to me with maybe sometimes it may be an uncertainty or even a fear or anxiousness of the water, the swim, and how do you overcome that? Or it's often about pushing hard and really really staying strong to the end of the race. So there's really those are the kind of the more common ones. But I always look at what underlies those. Right? Those may be the symptoms that are showing up, but what really is the underlying factor? And often the case, it comes back to some old stories we keep repeating, or some of the beliefs we have about ourselves, or some things that are really, really need to be you really need to unpack them to fully understand them in order to apply the right solution. So that's one aspect. One aspect is specifically optimizing performance in the race. And I think the second thing that becomes quite common with the clients that I've talked to is, not surprising to me, but perhaps sometimes surprising to them, that they'll come to me to want to discuss how they can be, achieve their big goal, whether that's qualifying for the world championships or winning the world championships. But what a lot of our conversation seems to wrap around is other dynamics that are going on in their life that are causing a bit of friction or drag on allowing them to really show up and perform at their best. So it could be stress related to work or outside life. It could be just balancing work-life schedule and trying to find the time to get it all done, especially a lot of people in the sport have young families. So it runs quite the gamut, and I'm very thankful for a lot of the insights and training that I've learned from some of the great teachers over the years that I'm able to work with people in any aspect that they want. Ultimately, as you said at the start, is I'm all about helping people to achieve high performance or peak performance. But really what that means to me, it's not about being the world's best. It's not about winning every single race out there. Really what it means to me is how can the best of you show up more consistently? Because we all know and we all feel those moments when we feel like we're at our best. But for some people, it doesn't happen as much as they'd like. And when you can have the best of you show up more consistently, when you come from a good place every day with optimism and integrity or enthusiasm and with good energy for what you want to achieve that day, then hey, life gets pretty good from that place.
Yeah, I love that. I just love that, showing up the best you can be consistently, because there's always going to be somebody that can run faster than us, swim faster than us, bike faster than us, do more in business. There's always the next level. And yeah. I think the more we keep showing up the best we can be, that just elevates us to that whole, and we all, and just like you said, we do that. Everybody can take themselves back to a place in their life or experiences where they just felt on top of the world. And if you could have that feeling every day, that's just phenomenal. So what are some ideas that you can share with the audience here on how to get to that level? Just, I know you coach with athletes and with big companies, but are there any takeaways that you can kind of share with how you help some of your athletes do that?
Yeah, I think the first step is always about awareness. It's always about becoming more self-aware as to those little things that, those little, almost sometimes it's those moments of hesitation, or it's the patterns that we repeat that kind of get in our own way sometimes, don't we? I think a heightened level of self-awareness is a key thing. And some simple things that you can do that is, if there's an area that you'd like to be better at or improve in, or that you keep kind of hitting this, making the same mistakes over and over again, is you've got to ask yourself some fundamental questions. It's what was I thinking in that moment? Why didn't I take those steps that I wanted to take? Or why do I keep repeating that? And at the root of all of our motivation, the root of all motivation is a very simple principle. And that is the contrast and sometimes the conflict between wanting something pleasurable or trying to avoid something that's going to give us some pain or discomfort or being uncomfortable, whatever the case may be. And when you can understand that force, then that's a really powerful place to be. And sometimes you may not like the answers you get to, but we all do things. We all do things that just prevent us from you know, being the best, not the best we can be, but being the best of us more consistently. And so I think the first thing is being a heightened level of self-awareness, and you know, some great tools for that. Journaling is a great tool for that. Whether that's keeping a training log or just a little daily journal that you keep with you, that kind of in that moment we have a moment of reflection, some time to reflect on. You can just kind of think, hey, what happened there? You know, in that meeting at the office that didn't go so well. Why? What was really at play there? What was really going on with me? I think another powerful question. I'll highlight that as a point. Is one of the key strategies that I often talk about with clients and with corporate clients as well is, you know, our mind is always thinking, but it's usually directed by the questions we ask it. And if you ask yourself a low quality question, like, you know, why is my boss always such a pain in the backside? You're going to find reasons why your boss is always a pain in the backside. Right? Why am I such a loser? You're going to find reasons why you're a loser.
Right.
And it sounds so fundamental. It sounds so elementary. It sounds so like elementary school, but it's so profound that if you ask yourself a higher quality question, you're going to direct your thinking to find higher quality answers. So, you know, if you are struggling in some aspect of your work, or you know, you're not really achieving on the same level, or you find that work is a bit painful every day, you know, a little simple thing to do. So, you know, complete this sentence. I can make tomorrow more easy and enjoyable if I ... fill in the blank. And if you come up with 6 to 10 reasons on how you can make tomorrow at work more easy and enjoyable for yourself, then you've got some great things to look forward to, or great ideas that you can at least try to implement, rather than saying, why does my job suck so much?
Oh, I love that. I think that's,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's so true. Because, you know, especially because my background's been all in sales, and we're always taught, you know, the better questions you ask, the better answers you get. And that's what you need to help your clients to be able to, you know, see the benefit of wanting to either work with you or buy the product or service. And that just, it makes so much sense. I think we overcomplicate things. And I love that, the simplicity of asking higher quality questions. Why do I think this way?
Yeah. And your comment, your point about your experience in sales is a profound one, because we are selling stuff to ourselves every single day.
Yes. Oh,
right, we're selling our stories to ourselves, and we're buying those stories sometimes too.
Oh, definitely.
But the thing is, you don't have to buy into the stories you tell yourself. You don't have to buy into the thoughts. But just because you think it doesn't mean you have to believe
it. It's just a story. I mean, it's just a story. Whether we want to, you know, take it to the next level, that's up to us. So I just love that insight. Now I'm curious because, you know, I've grown up in a lot of different fitness and competition arenas, in whether music or sports. And a big thing that has helped me has been visualization. And I'm curious if that's something that you coach with or that you think helps as a triathlete.
Absolutely. Yes, I do. I worked with a few athletes on that recently, that is. And I think it is a very powerful thing. Now, sometimes people struggle with it a little bit, but I certainly encourage them to, there are different approaches to it. But the simple point is that, you know, your mind, the mind doesn't distinguish between what's real and what's imagined. The mind itself, you know, what's real or imagined sometimes, most of the time anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the advances in technology and neuroscience now, you know, they hook your brain up to the monitors, the MRI scans, or the brain scans, and they can see the brain waves that are created when you are sitting there relaxed, eyes closed, imagining your performance. And that goes for the performance, whether it is in a triathlon race, whether it's, you know, shooting a basketball in a basketball game, whether it's playing the piano, whether it's on stage giving a sales presentation. Your brain will remember what you thought. And so the act of visualization is really putting yourself into the moment and experiencing it in the best way that you want to experience it. And sometimes it's also, it can be very powerful with visualization, is also imagining when things might go not as planned, not according to plan, or when things are going wrong, and how do you actually respond to that?
Ah, that's good.
Because for a lot of people, especially with triathlon, you know, you can be training months, sometimes even a year for some bigger races, or, you know, the Olympics is a great example as well, right? People train hard for 4 years just to get that one moment. And you wouldn't want that one moment to show up, the time where it really counts, to be the first time you've ever done it.
Right.
And if you can visualize doing it the correct way, you can visualize when things don't go according to plan and how you quickly get yourself back on track. So when that moment comes, you've been there before. So what happens there? Confidence goes up, familiarity goes up, nerves go down, and you will perform it. You will execute in a higher quality way.
Oh, that's amazing. I love how you explain that. I think that's great, really, to focus your mindset too on when things happen, because it's always, you know, things are always going to happen that we're not going to be prepared for, but having that mental rehearsal just sets us up to outperform and excel in all areas. I mean, business, relationships. Yeah. I just love that. Now, real quick here, with you being an athlete yourself, what's your favorite part of being a triathlete?
Well, it's an interesting question. Well, I've always said that I feel like one of the lucky ones, because every triathlon, well, yeah, 99% of them are in the same order: swim, bike, then run.
Right.
And I'm lucky because run is my favorite part. I feel for those athletes that swim is their best and run is the worst, because it's all downhill once you get out of the, or it's all uphill, I suppose, once you get out of the water.
Right.
So I'm always glad when I exit the water and I'm feeling like I've had a good workout. I'm very happy when I get off the bike, because I enjoy running the most. So that's probably what I enjoy the most, is probably the running part.
That's great. Now, is there a reason why they have it set up that way?
I think first and foremost, well, that's how I think I was initially started, way back in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of tradition involved, but I think it's also a bit of a safety issue as well, that they don't want people who are totally knackered jumping into the ocean and
that makes
trying
sense.
To swim a long distance.
Yes,
so. Absolutely.
Now, well, that's because the reason I was asking that, because you had said that one of your, you know, some of the clients that you talk about there, they may have apprehension for one area of the race. So that's what I think is so great with triathlons, how it makes you push yourself in, you know, three different, completely different sports. Now, when you work with your athletes, are there things that you help them to concentrate on during race day? I mean, because, you know, the emotions, the environment is completely different than what they've been training in up until race day.
Mm. Yes, definitely. I think, you know, focus is a very important thing that a lot of people find that their mind wanders and they get distracted. And I think that sometimes that's absolutely a necessary thing. You can't over, you know, whether it's an hour or whether it's 15 hours, you can't expect, nor should you want to have complete focus all the time. But what the real skill is on being able to focus when focus is important, and having a strategy as to what that is. So I often talk about it as it's mastering the moments. What are the five or six key moments in any race where you really need to bring your full attention? So that could be one at the start line, or in the first 2.5 minutes or 5 minutes of the race, depending how long it is. When there's all the thrashing in the water, you really want to be focused on specific aspects of your stroke and owning your space. In transitions is another key moment for all athletes. But there are going to be some moments, and it can be depend on the course as well. But you just want to be aware, keep it simple, you just want to be aware when you need to be focusing on things and what should you be focusing on, what level of intensity of focus, and when is it okay to allow almost your mind to relax, or take in the scenery, or, you know, feel the energy of the crowd. And I think triathletes by trait tend to be a bit obsessive compulsive about wanting to figure out. I have a couple of friends who are pregnant now, and I see parallels.
Really?
You know, always afraid you're going to do something wrong. whether you're a triathlete or a pregnant woman. It's like you got to make sure you're doing everything right. You're always information overload, trying to learn every single aspect.
Right.
And sometimes it's just okay just to relax and enjoy the process.
Oh, I think that's brilliant. And I'm so glad you touched on that, because I think just like you're talking about, even just as entrepreneurs too, we're trying to make everything perfect and everything work, and we're focused in all these different areas. And it's like what you said, what are the main areas you need to focus on? You know, the beginning of the race, maybe a few places in the middle and the end, but not all the time, where you can let yourself enjoy the process like you talked about. I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, one thing I often talk about related to that is, as you mentioned it, is my clients often hear me say it's about progress, not perfection.
Yes.
You need to be focused on progress. And yeah, especially with triathlon, that, you know, or any kind of adventure kind of race, you never know what the weather is going to be like,
right,
what the course is going to be like. Every race is going to be different. So you can't, you've got to have some flexibility in your own expectations and your own goals.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, I love it. The flexibility is probably one of the most important, but sometimes some of the hardest things to realize in business and life and sports. And one thing I'd like to ask you too, just when athletes have come to a point where they hit a wall, how do you help people through that process?
Well, again, I think it comes back to the first point about heightened sense of self-awareness as to, you know, what's really causing that plateau. I was speaking to a journalist recently about the idea that we reach these plateaus in fitness sometimes, or, you know, if you're going to the gym and you don't feel like you're getting the gains, you know, there's lots of research out there that says that it's the plateaus are more caused by what's in your mind than what's in your body. And I think keeping it fresh is really important. But I think while every athlete situation, every person's situation is going to be somewhat unique, one of the things that I always look for is, what are the patterns? What are the things that you are consistently, that are the themes that are showing up or have been showing up at different periods of time? And those are universal. And so when someone has hit the wall, it's just asking some quality questions and getting them to understand a little bit more, getting specific on what the issue is. And then we can start to unpack it from there and put in the right solutions.
Oh, that's great. I think I love how you just keep it so simple. And it's really just ask the right questions for yourself, and you have the answer with inside you. I think that's just phenomenal advice. So just, you know, before we end the call here, I'd love, since you are, I mean, the main core of who you work with, I mean, with these major corporations, as well as athletes and individuals that you coach, it's all based on high performance. And like you said, you know, showing up consistently more as the best, as your best self. So what are three takeaways that you can help entrepreneurs start to implement that in their lifestyle?
Well, I think, and this is something that I had to really focus on for myself. And I found it a very empowering thing, because I'm also an entrepreneur. I've got two or three businesses that I'm involved in, lots of partners as well. And as I'm continuing to grow, I have to continue to remind myself some of these key principles. But I think as the listeners know, the entrepreneurs know that, you know, that experience can be quite a roller coaster at times.
Yes.
you have a great week, but then it goes dry for quite a while, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, talking about the inner game is that our opportunity and our choice is how are we going to show up every day? It doesn't matter if you've just had a record-breaking sales month or you've gone completely dry. How you show up to start the day is so critical. And what I mean by that is, what is going to direct your decisions during that day? Is it going to be your frustration, your self-doubt, the uncertainty? Are you going to allow your business to be shaped by your creativity, your persistence, your innovation, your sense of humor, your lighthearted approach to it, whatever the case may be? But where are you going to come from every day? Where from within you are you going to show up every day, regardless of what kind of results you're getting? Because you've got to appreciate the fact that, regardless of what kind of external results you're getting, you're only going to get good results when you show up the best you can every single day. And I fundamentally believe that it's a choice. You will choose to show up a bit angry or frustrated or worried at the start of a day if you're not getting the results.
Right.
But even if you're not getting the results, you can still show up with creativity, enthusiasm, and that really good positive energy saying, you know what, I haven't got the results I want yet this month, but what can I do today to close that gap? So I think that's the first thing. The first thing and the most fundamental thing is you've got to decide how you want to show up every day. I think the second thing is, you know, it sounds a bit maybe cliche, certainly in the personal development world, but you've got to have an understanding of what you're trying to achieve, what you're aiming for. And yes, that includes, you know, having some big goals to go after. But sometimes as an entrepreneur, it's tough to predict or identify with any real sense of certainty what kind of results you want to get. And, you know, especially in the longer term. So I think there's a couple things I would suggest on that is you can look at what are the shorter term goals that you could set for yourself just to direct your attention and your focus so you're not pulled in 100 different directions. So for example, that could mean something as simple as, you know, I can't predict what my sales are going to be. I can't predict, you know, how many customers or how many new clients I'm going to be getting over the next 6 months maybe. But what would it take for me to get the next 3 clients? You know, I may want 30, I may want 300. You know, you got to pick the right number that's the right for you, but ground it in a way that actually feels like that's actually not that big of a deal. And thinking about what can you do now, what would you need to do to make that happen? So by establishing some goals that are going to give you a bit of direction, but are reachable, even though it will stretch you to get there, I think is an important thing. The other thing, and a really fundamental, again, daily thing. You know, sometimes we can be really overwhelmed by having all these goals to go after and really getting excited or having a long list of to-dos, and it can be a lot to take care of. And sometimes I just kind of, when I get in that mode and my clients get in that mode, I just like to strip away all of the complexity and just come back to something down to a really simple thought, and that is what would I at the end of today, what would I love to say that I've move forward, progressed, or completed. And, you know, rather than feeling you're overburdened with all the tasks, if you just said, here's 2 things I would love to have completed today, and you put your focus on that, that's great. And that can just be enough to refuel that energy for you to show up next day and then say, okay, now I've got a lot more I know I need to do. Let me refocus on and get myself really, really prioritized. And then the third thing I would say is, something a mentor of mine just recently told me, and that is, you know, it's a bit of, I guess it falls under the umbrella thought of how can you be successful in spite of yourself? And that is just, you know, kind of recognizing what are you good at, but what are some of your weaknesses or what are some of your faults that might be holding you back, that might be a barrier to your success at this stage, wherever you are right now. And being not trying to avoid them, but actually embracing them. Not facing them or fighting them, but embracing them and saying, you know, this isn't my strengths. No, this isn't my strength. And the real challenge is not to say, how do I overcome those strengths or how do I get better at them? But actually it's more about how do you minimize the risk? So whether that's getting someone else who has those areas as strengths to come onto your team, even for a short period of time, or how can you even make some of those weaknesses irrelevant? Like, for example, if you're someone who tends to procrastinate a lot, what could you do to make procrastination irrelevant? Meaning you've committed in a certain way that you have to get certain things done. So you have on a daily basis, or you're going to create, a lot of people are into video marketing now. If you make a commitment to your clients that you're going to produce one video every single day for 30 days, you're just going to get on and do it. And so your weakness or your bad habits that might show up of procrastinating, want to be perfect, just go completely, become irrelevant because you don't have any time to procrastinate. It's maybe an ironic thought. And you've just got to get on and do it. Because it is our inner game. It is the conversations and the stories that we tell ourselves are really the things that get in our way. It's not a lack of skills. It's not a lack of ideas. It's the stuff that's inside that's holding us back.
Absolutely. Oh, those are just absolutely brilliant. And I love that last one too, because it's that Parkinson's law where it's like, well, if we set a date for ourselves, you know, we'll do it right up until the last minute there. So I think by putting that in your schedule, it totally negates, you know, the procrastination and not moving forward. So I just
and to that, I would also just add as a final point, as a 3.3A is also a question. You know, if you are a bit stuck, the simple question is, what could I do to build momentum today? You know, because momentum is such a powerful force in when you're trying to achieve something, and especially when you're a bit stuck, or maybe you've been stagnating for a while, or maybe you're feeling a bit overwhelmed with all the things you need to do. Just think about, if you think about it from that place, not what you need to do today, but it's actually how can I build momentum towards my outcomes, towards my goals, or towards, you know, becoming the person I want to become. And just find one or two little things that you can do right now to build momentum. Because the period of time, the shorter the period of time between you when you make a decision and take the action, that's when you start to build momentum. The longer period of time you wait, you decide, yes, I decide video marketing is the thing I need to be doing. And if you wait a week to even start thinking about that or taking some action, you're going to allow procrastination to creep in, excuses to creep in, your perfectionism to creep in. But if you say, I'm going to do a video, it's 9 a.m. right now, I'm going to have my first video done by noon.
Perfect.
You're going to get it done.
Yeah, no, and that is phenomenal advice. I was just actually, and it's funny you say it that way, because I was just watching a TED Talk that the speaker was saying, once you make a decision, implement something within 30 minutes. I don't care if it's just writing something down really simple that is a list that you're going to do for it or whatever the case is, put it into action and you'll get it done. And I just, those 3 points are just, those are golden eggs. Those are just phenomenal. So just thank you so much for sharing all this information. And where can we find out more about you?
Well, you can, if you're interested in triathlon, you can go to triathletemind.com. I also do some other, I do a lot of work with another company called the energyproject.com, which has some phenomenal training. And if people are interested in improving their daily energy to achieve more of what they want to do, I would encourage you to check out that website as well. And some of the great work that we're doing there.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I didn't even mention this for everyone that's listening. Chris has his own podcast as well. It's Action Podcast, where they talk, three of his other friends, they all talk within peak performance and athlete, and they just have a myriad of different subjects, and they're just incredible to listen to. So head over to iTunes too, and also check out Action Podcast. But again, thank you so much, Chris, for coming on the show. Again, this is Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And if you'd like to learn more about Chris as well, head over to chrisgilbertson.com, and I'll have a full profile on Chris, where you can find out more about his information, his training, and triathlete information as well. And I wish everybody to go out and make it a great day.